This episode is sponsored by Celestron, manufacturer of high-quality telescopes and an industry leader in developing exciting optical products with revolutionary technologies.
I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during April. This month, we'll follow the moon around the sky, track down a hunter, a lion, and a bear after sunset, take a chance on seeing a modest meteor shower, and welcome Venus back to the evening sky. Ready to explore? Then let's get started. The cycle of the moon's phases, called a lunation, is just a day or two shy of an entire month. The moon moves briskly in its orbit around Earth at about 2,300 miles per hour. So, from night to night, the moon moves eastward in the sky by a little more than the width of your clenched fist held at arm's length, passing stars and planets along the way. All that motion, combined with the swelling of its shape, known as waxing, and the shrinking, called waning, will keep us on our celestial toes as we try to follow it around the sky. Now, I'm sure you've noticed that the sun makes a low arc across the sky during midwinter and climbs high overhead during summer. The moon also makes that wide swing north and south in the sky, except it covers it all every month. For example, we start April with the moon in the morning sky before dawn. On April 4th, get outside by, say, 5:30 or 6 a.m., and you'll see the last quarter moon as you face south. Do you see how low it looks? On that date, its declination, which is the sky equivalent of latitude, is about minus 25 degrees. 2 days later, before dawn on April 6th, the moon has thinned to a crescent and shifted eastward to a spot that's about 5 degrees, half of a fist, below the planet Saturn. Off to the left is much brighter Jupiter. 1 day later, on the 7th, the moon has slid to the left and is now 5 degrees below Jupiter. Then its crescent gets progressively thinner and harder to spot. New moon comes late on April 11th, and in the days thereafter it reappears in the evening sky. When can you first spot it? Maybe that'll be the evening of the 13th, if the sky is really clear and if you have an unobstructed view toward west. The moon climbs a little higher each night, passing to the right of the bright star Aldebaran on the 15th, and then it sits below Mars on the 16th, and sits half a fist above Mars on the 17th. 2 nights later, on the 19th, you'll find the moon just to the left of the bright star Pollux. On the right side of Pollux, by about the same amount, is its mythical twin Castor, slightly dimmer. Now, on this night, the moon reaches its first quarter phase, looking like a half circle. But notice how high it is in the sky compared to where it was early in the month. After that, the lunar disk gets fatter and brighter, and the only thing you'll spot nearby are the very brightest stars. One of those is Regulus, the alpha star in the constellation Leo, the lion. I'll say more about Leo in a bit. By April 25th, the moon looms over the eastern horizon at sunset and is not far above the bright star Spica in the constellation Virgo. Full moon follows the next night. This one is known as the full pink moon, so named by Native American tribes because this month coincided with the appearance of wild ground phlox, one of the earliest widespread flowers of spring. In the days that follow, the moon rises later and later after sunset, leaving us alone with a lovely array of evening stars. It might be spring, but most of winter's stars are still hanging around in the hours after sunset. Let's start in the west, where Orion the Hunter is getting quite low. Find the distinctive horizontal row of three stars that form the belt of Orion. Above the belt is the reddish star Betelgeuse, and below it, the icy white beacon Rigel. Now, Orion is a wintertime constellation for us northerners, and he's tipped down toward the western horizon while making a gradual exit from the evening's celestial stage. This month, we can use Orion to observe the two ways that stars move around in our sky. The first is due to Earth's 24-hour spin. Find an obvious landmark along the western horizon and Orion's position with respect to it at, say, 8 p.m. Then check an hour later, and you'll see that he's obviously lower down, because Earth has turned. To see the second kind of motion, again note where Orion is at a particular time, and then check again at the same time 2 weeks later. Orion will once again be farther down, but this time the cause is Earth's motion around the Sun. Our orbital position shifts over those 2 weeks, and so does Orion's location in the evening sky. We can use Orion to spot some other bright stars nearby. To the belt's lower left, by about two fists, is Sirius, the brightest star in the nighttime sky. This beacon marks the collar of one of Orion's hunting dogs, Canis Major. The other one, Canis Minor, is a little higher up. Look for its somewhat dimmer anchor star, called Procyon. Okay, the hunt's afoot. Now let's find two cosmic carnivores. High up and almost overhead around 9 o'clock is the distinctive constellation Leo. He's facing to the right, with his head and mane forming a big backward question mark that's a little bigger than your clenched fist. At the bottom of that pattern is Leo's brightest star, Regulus, meaning Little King. You can also imagine these stars as a giant sickle, the sharp, long-bladed hand tool that farmers once used to harvest grain. Now let's find our old friend, the Big Dipper. Look high in the north. The Dipper is positioned with its bowl at upper left and its handle curving toward lower right. According to old farmers' lore, it's upside down as if dumping April showers. The two stars at the left end of the Dipper's bowl are known as the pointer stars because an imaginary line down through them points almost directly at Polaris, the North Star. You'll find it below the pointers by about the width of three fists. Meanwhile, Polaris marks the handle end of the notoriously dim Little Dipper, which on spring evenings extends to the right of Polaris. Now, the Big Dipper isn't a true constellation. It's what astronomers call an asterism, any obvious group of stars. The sickle is an asterism, too. But the Big Dipper is part of a constellation, Ursa Major, which is Latin for the Big Bear. And the Little Dipper is in Ursa Minor, which means, you guessed it, the Little Bear. Now, if you think about it, bears come out of hibernation in the spring, and so the Big Bear is now on the prowl high in the northeast. So is Leo the lion. Well, okay, lions don't hibernate, but we're talking mythology here. And slithering up equally high in the southeast is long, winding Hydra, the sea serpent, a completely mythological creature. Hydra's stars are all pretty dim. Well below Regulus is Alphard, which forms the serpent's fiery orange heart. Its head is farther right, over in the southwest, and its long tail has yet to clear the southeastern horizon. Hydra was quite carnivorous in Homer's Odyssey, and you can think of it as a hibernator if you want. Spring is coming, and all these sky critters are on the march. It's been a few months since I've mentioned any meteor showers, and in fact, the first half of the year has very few of them compared to the second half. But there is one this month, called the Lyrids, and it peaks on the morning of April 22nd. Astronomers use this name because these meteors appear to radiate from the constellation Lyra, the Lyre, which rises in the northeast not long after sunset and rises higher in the sky during the night and in the hours before dawn. Unfortunately, there'll be lots of interference from a waxing gibbous moon. So your best bet is to be up and outside in the hour before dawn twilight begins, after the moon has set. Finally, as April draws to a close, you'll have the chance to see not one, but both of the planets that circle the Sun inside Earth's orbit. Beginning around April 20th, look to the west shortly after sunset to get your first glimpse of Venus as it begins a lengthy evening appearance. Now you'll need an unobstructed view in that direction. Be warned that Venus is only 4 degrees above the horizon at sunset. But if you don't see it, try again a few nights later as Venus gradually climbs higher in the post-sunset twilight. In any case, Venus slowly gets higher throughout the coming months, reaching its greatest separation from the Sun in late October. Meanwhile, on April 25th, speedy Mercury also pops into view after sunset and pulls up alongside Venus. Spotting both Venus and Mercury will get a whole lot easier next month. Thanks for letting me show you around the stars and planets for another month. If you want more tips for viewing the night sky, including a free interactive star chart for any time or date, check out our website, skyandtelescope.org. If you haven't already subscribed, you'll find this Sky Tour on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. If you've enjoyed this tour, please leave a rating or review. It'll help spread the word about Sky Tour, and I really welcome your feedback. And if you want to explore the solar system and universe more deeply, check out the full line of binoculars and telescopes available at Celestron.com. Sky Tour is a production of Sky and Telescope, a division of the American Astronomical Society, and is produced by me, Kelly Beattie. Join me next month when we'll explore the starscape near the Big Dipper in more detail. Until then, I wish you clear skies.